All right. I have Tim Dumas with me today. And I'm excited to have you on, Tim, because your whole avenue, your lane is leadership. Tim is a business coach. You've worked with some pretty big names. You're actually a speaker and trainer with John Maxwell team. So just enough right there. We don't really have to talk anymore about promoting you and saying like you're legit. But it's great to have you on the show today. Thanks for coming on. Go ahead and say hi to everybody.
It's a pleasure to be here, Kyle. Absolutely.
Yeah. You have a word, and I want to dive right into it, is magnanimity.
Did you got it. Right? Yes. How did you get it? It took me months to figure out. I was like, magnanimity. Yes.
You do coaching work around that word. Let's dive right in there. What does that word mean and why it's so important to you?
So there's so many people in a world that get thrown into leadership. And I, like anyone else, was thrown in my 20s. I was managing this little pub restaurant and I was ready to take on the world, to lead this team to greatness, to be the best little neighborhood pub restaurant that there has ever been. And so I walk into the room to address my team with a Vince Lombardi like football speech to lead them. And they look back at me and they're like, what? Why should I lead you? And I'm like, I'm giving this great speech. And you know what? This speech was pretty decent. But they're like, what? Why should we do it? And at that exact moment, boom. I had no idea what leadership actually meant. I had no idea how to define it. So as a great child of the 80s, I go searching through Encyclopedia Britannica. Still the paper copy, not the internet. And do you know what I found? The definition of leadership is the act of leading or the position of holding a leadership position. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in the third grade and on my spelling test, they said, define leadership, and I defined it by a root of the word, I would have failed. So I'm sorry to say the encyclopedia failed me. And so on that day, I went on a journey trying to find out what the definition of leadership actually was. And do you know what was surprising? I asked all these people who were actually leaders what it meant. Coaches in sport, in school, in business.
And they could answer, huh?
And they were like, well, we all kind of know what it means. What do you mean? And I said, no, what's the definition? And so I went on a decade-long journey. It took me almost a decade and a half till I met a guy faithfully one day who wrote a book called Virtuous Leadership. And he has this word that is magnanimity. And his name's Alex Savard. And I said, Alex, how do you define that word? Because first I asked him, what's your definition of leadership? And he said, Tim, it's simple. Magnanimity. And I said, well, I don't know how to say it. What does that mean? He said, simple. Magnanimity is the greatest aspect of leadership and is actually how you can define leadership. It's the act of striving for greatness by bringing out the greatness in others.
Let's go. That's beautiful.
And that period end stop, that's the definition of leadership. Striving for greatness by bringing out the greatness in others.
So when you got that definition, did it click with you? Or were you like, oh, I found what I was looking for?
It clicked right away. You certainly, right? And because it really takes into account all the aspects of leadership. There are many great people who have defined leadership in. John Maxwell, one of my mentors, defined it as leadership is influence. Now, I love John Maxwell. I love that definition. I just think it's missing something. Like, what does influence mean? Like, you can influence people in so many ways. And what this definition gives with magnanimity is striving for greatness. And if you stop right there, that's a lot of striving for greatness myself. And if I don't first strive for greatness myself, I can't support to bring out the greatness in others. Because you can't give what you don't have. And so until I'm working towards that myself, I need to put my oxygen mask on first. As Kevin Lawrence, who wrote the book, My Oxygen Mask First, wrote, I need to put that oxygen mask on first and work on it myself. And then I can strive to bring out greatness in others. And that's really what leadership is doing it daily myself. Doesn't mean I'm doing it perfectly. It means I'm working through it myself. And then I'm going to support others to bring that out in them as well. And really, what is leadership if you're not bringing people along with you, if you're not impacting people, if you're not making impact in their lives. One of the greatest, coaching sessions one can do is what I would call the eulogy drill or the tombstone drill.
Yep.
Just asking someone briefly, what's it going to say on your tombstone? Or what are the 10 points you're going to hand to that person who's going to be your eulogist and say, hey, just state these 10 points about me in my eulogy. Mm-hmm. You know what most people say when they write down those 10 points? Most people are like, I don't know if I'm living it. I don't know if I can honestly give this to somebody. I'm like, well, okay, you got one shot to live. You got these 10 points you want to live by. You're holding them up on this pad of paper. You might as well live by them.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good. We actually did that exact exercise with like 20 guys last summer at a men's camp we held, and we wrote out their eulogy, and I was the one on stage like speaking about it and saying, hey, we're going to do this, and it's going to be raw and it's going to be real, but let's spend like an hour putting down these points. And it's so revealing, even to like myself, like it instantly sheds light on where you're missing the mark and where you feel like you're doing a pretty good job. And so I recommend that to anyone. I'm still in the journey of writing out myself, because it's an ongoing project. You know, it never really stops.
No, you're never. And that's probably the whole hang up that a lot of people have. They're like, well, I don't really know. Well, what's important is you just start. I spoke to somebody today who I was doing a business strategic plan with, and that person's like, well, Tim, I don't really want to do a strategic plan. And I said, why not? And he said, well, I don't really want to etch it in stone. And I said, who said you're etching it in stone? I said, we're setting a strategy. That doesn't mean you can't tweak it along the way. I mean, if you're throwing it out and starting over again, we might have to talk, but you're tweaking along the way. I'm tweaking my personal value statement, mission statement, quarterly, annually, I'll review it and I'll be like, it's not quite there. What am I missing? And I go through those things all the time. And it's the same thing with your eulogy. Like, what am I missing here? And one of the great things that we can do with our eulogy or our personal mission statement, et cetera, is just ask the people around us, right? A lot of people would say, you know, be a great husband or wife or father or mother, right? And you're like, oh, shoot, how do I do that? Well, why don't I just ask my kids? How can I be a better father? Oh, try doing that. That is, that's intense and sometimes hard to do. I asked my 7-year-old the other day, he's like, well, we play catch more. I'm like, we play catch almost every day, right? We play it more. Okay, right? So it's intense, but that's how you find out, how to intentionally live.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's because at times I've had a lot of conversations of like how to follow mentors and be a good mentee, but it's really going to the people you serve and asking, how can I be better at what I'm doing to serve you? I think that's like a point that we miss. We look for the future rather than like looking at the people right in our inner circle to actually give us raw feedback. That is really good.
It's not rocket science. I mean, it's the same thing in a business, right? When there's a leader of a department of business has 6 or 8 people reporting into them, and we're working through them struggling to have their employees hit their KPIs or their targets or things like that. And we'll work through this. They'll say, okay, when you ask them, how can I best support you to hit those? What did they say? They're like, why would I ask them? I go, what would you mean? Why would you ask them? They're the ones doing it. They're going to have some idea of how you can best support them, right?
Mm.
And what we often do, and you know, sometimes the view of leadership is I know, and I know what you need to know. Well, one of the greatest forms of leadership, and you know, now it's, you know, Brené Brown talks about the vulnerability, right? I don't know any more than you do. And the people that work for me are probably smarter than me. And if I've hired well, they are.
Yeah.
Probably they aren't, right? So if I've hired well, they are. So why don't I ask them? Because they're pretty darn smart.
Mm. Yeah. Really good point. Thanks for sharing that. And so around this, like pulling out just the success for others, how long have you been a business leadership coach? What got you into doing what you are doing right now?
So I got in it. So, you know, when I got into business, I started working for a family business with my dad and my uncles at the time. And when I got into business, you know, I was told, probably what most people are told, you know what, son, keep your head down, work hard. They tell you to work 8 hours a day, work 12, and you'll be great. And that's what I did. I worked my butt off. Nobody worked harder. I put my head down, never came up for air, and worked super hard. And you know what? In a lot of ways, that gets you somewhere. You know what? If, you know, work ethic is a big part of success. However, I never came up for air and I never looked around me. I never asked other people for feedback. All I was consumed with was working hard. And it wasn't until it was 8 years ago that for some reason we decided to bring a business coach into our business. And there were a few difficulties we were having at the time. So we brought this business coach in. And at that time, I was told to believe that, why do you need somebody else? You can work hard. You don't need anyone else to tell you what to do. You know. And there's something to be said about that. There's a lot to be said about receiving feedback from the outside, because there's a lot that we can't see in the mirror because of our own personal blindness. And so when he came in, my eyes were open and I realized the amazing things we were starting to hit, both personally and professionally in our business. So it wasn't a year or two later, I said, hey, we need this with more of our people, but you don't have enough time and we don't have enough money for you to work with every single one of our people. And he looked at me, he shook his head. He said, Tim, you're already doing it. You just got to do it better. And, you know, when you're setting a goal, it needs to be time bound. And so he said, Tim, what are you going to do about it? I said, I don't know. I'll get back to you. He said, great. Call me tomorrow at 5 p.m., which was virtually 24 hours later. He said, I want you to have an action plan on what you're going to do to be a better leader and coach in your business. So I called him back 24 hours later. And it wasn't like, it was probably like 35 days later, I'm on a flight to Florida to get certified in coaching by John Maxwell. So we brought into our business a coaching culture at that time. Things started to evolve. I told people, like I'm telling you, and people said, Tim, can you help bring that into our company? Can you bring this coaching culture? Can you help us? So I started working for one company, helping another company, doing one-on-one coaching, doing strategic planning, to the point where now where I do a lot of it. And so it just snowballed. So really for the past 5 years, I've been doing a lot of one-on-one coaching as well as strategic planning. In conjunction with still being involved in the family business.
Wow, that is great. What's been one of the biggest transformation stories you have with investing in someone and seeing their business skyrocket, and what it looked like before you were involved and after working with you?
Well, can I tell you one that's personal before we get to business? Because the personal
That's probably better.
and really, when it comes to the end, it's really, we want to see businesses grow, and how we see businesses grow is how we see people grow. And one of the most impactful things in business, and one of the most impactful questions we can ask is, if you knew you couldn't fail, what dream would you achieve and how can I support you to do that? And I asked that to a woman who worked for me one day. And she goes, no one's ever asked me that before. No one's asked me to dream. I just come to work. I get the job done so I can pay my bills. And so while I'm asking you to dream, if you had your biggest, boldest, most audacious dream, and I guarantee you couldn't fail, what would you do? Mm-hmm. She finally looks up and looks at me. She goes, Tim, I would buy a new car. She said, in my whole life, I've never owned a new car. My parents never owned a new car. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. And I just thought, if I could just afford my own apartment to rent, and if I just could afford a car, I would have made it. But you know what? Sometimes my car breaks down. It's old. I'd love to have a new car. It would help me get to work on time. It'd meet my appointments, deadlines, etc. And I said, what's stopping you? She looked at me and she said, I don't know if I can afford one, or they'll give me a loan for it. I don't know if they will. I said, that's easy. I said, prove to me that you're right, that you can't afford it. So go to the car dealership, talk to somebody, go to the loan officer, talk to them, and prove to me that you can't afford a new car. So it's not like 2 weeks later, I walk in the office. She grabs my other arm, runs me to the parking lot, and sitting there is a brand new blue Mazda 3. She goes, "Tim, I got the new car only because you asked me to prove you wrong, and I did it because you asked me to prove you wrong." Now, that company now, how loyal do you think that person is? That company, how impactful do you think their work is for that company? What kind of new heights and new revenues does that company hit? Hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
All because we started with taking people's dreams and melding with the dreams of the company. Now that person knows that we intimately support her dreams as we work towards our company dreams together.
Mm-hmm. Woo. I think that was the mic drop moment of that I was looking for, the nugget. Yeah. That was really, really good. What have you, when people experience that and they come out of, because I personally just walked through this myself of like, okay, I'm hired to do this one thing and I'm going to be the best as I can. But the freedom to dream, I'd like to call it like you're probably like just that freedom giver. Like you give people the ability to dream and then let's go pursue it together.
Yeah, you know, in the military, they call it, "I got your six, I got your back," right? I believe in you. I support you. You know, the terrible thing about many businesses and organizations is we don't believe in each other. We don't believe in people. Hmm. When the minute something goes wrong, we turn on each other, right? In a business, you know, the economy turns and we're not hitting our numbers. That's the moment infighting starts, right? We start blaming each other. "Well, you didn't do this. I want to come back and check on you this." Well, guess what happens if we have your back? If we have your back and we don't hit a key performance indicator, then I'm going to that person saying, "Hey, we're not hitting it. I know the economy's tough right now. What can I do to support? What do we need to do together?" Mm-hmm. Rather than going against each other. And in any business organization or any team, when we know we got each other's back, amazing things happen because we have no choice but to work together to hit the goal. Rather than spending the time fighting about not hitting the goal and whose fault it is. I don't care whose fault it is. When people come to KPI meetings weekly, an organization that works, we come and you report our three top KPIs weekly. Well, guess what happens to most organizations? Say, "I hit one, I hit number two, I didn't hit number three." And they're like, "Why didn't you hit number three? When we want retribution," right? I don't care. I care about what we're doing together to get on track. So whether you hit it or not is of less relevance to me than what we're doing together to get out of that. So if you hit one and two, great. How can I support you to continue at one and two? If you didn't hit three, what are we changing to hit number three? And how can I support you to do that?
Yeah.
It's just like any relationship in life, right? Mm. When we know we're together, we're going to support each other, great things happen. Because I can't do it alone. I've never achieved anything by myself. Mm-hmm. I need to support others. And most organizations struggle to put that into practice.
Yeah. When you say that, when you say like, what can we do together? And it opens up the door probably for lots of ideas. What's the process you work with or coach others how to work through ideas that will get that best outcome when you actually have people open up to offer what they think should happen?
So being free to screw up. There's some tech companies that have, they call it, I'll call it Screw Up Fridays. And they come into the lunchroom every Friday and they have Screw Up Friday. You have to come in with something you screwed up this week. And they celebrate it. Because in tech, they know that if we aren't pushing the bounds and screwing up sometimes, we're not going to get to that cool new thing, right? Like we would never create the light bulb if Edison didn't, screw up all those times, right?
Yeah.
They say thousands of times. So if we don't screw up, we're not going to get to that next level. So the organizations that embrace failure, and by embracing failure, I don't mean the person that screws the same darn thing up every single day and doesn't learn from it. Because people say, "Oh, Tim, you're just too nice to people. You let them screw up." No, it's about learning from that. And what are we going to take from it? And if we're doing the same darn thing wrong every time, we have a problem. We got to course correct. But if we're able to live through that failure and turn that on its head, imagine what we'll accomplish. I think about it in sports, the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? The model NFL franchise of stability. Because when you get hired as a coach there, you know that you're hired for not years, not months, decades, right?
Yeah.
I've got three coaches in 30 something years, right? Because they know if I have a bad season, I'm not going to get fired right away. They know we're going to work together to work through it and get out of it. Yeah. And that's why greatness happens. Look at the Super Bowls that they've won.
Really good point. Right now, what you're sharing is that everyone has a voice. Everyone on your team is important because they're there.
Well, because they're there and because they were hired into the company. Otherwise, I'm an idiot because I didn't hire very good people, right? So it all comes back to me no matter what. Right? It's one of the greatest principles of leadership, the 100-0 principle. I can be 100% responsible, make 0% excuses. I could make excuses for bad people that I hire. Or I can say, I don't hire bad people. I better figure it out myself. Because if it's their fault, it's really my fault. I should have hired better.
Yeah.
But it's not the case. Mm. I've never went into an interaction with anybody I've ever met in my life that I didn't learn something from. I was in a networking group almost 10 years ago. And this guy said, Tim, I really want you to meet this person in our networking group. I said, okay. He said, this person's an artist, like a painter, paints art.
Yeah.
And I was young and not as smart at the time, let's say. And I said, what value can I receive from someone who's a painter, an artist? I'm not all that much into art. And the person shook their head at me. They said, Tim, the moment you realize that every interaction in your life, there that person has some value to add to your life and you have to add to them, is the moment you will awaken and become a great leader. And no matter what that person's differences are from you in any aspect of life, politically, business, any aspect of life, There's something that I can learn from them that they can add value to me and hopefully vice versa. And since that day, I went into every interaction that way. And that person who I met, who was the artist, has been one of the coolest leaders and connectors I've ever met. And I almost missed that opportunity. And we think about life. How many opportunities do we miss because we said, hey, I don't know, should I meet this person? Is it, you know, I'm busy. Is there any value to that? But if we change our mindset and put it on ourselves to get something out of it, then we will get something out of it.
Yeah. Thank you. So good. Well, you've dropped like so many great nuggets right now. Usually I say like, what's the one thing you want to leave out on? I'll open that up to you if you have any other things that you feel we didn't cover, but that was fire. That was really good.
So we went through a lot of things, magnanimity, dreaming, I got your sticks. We went through a lot of things. One word we probably didn't encompass, which encompasses everything as it relates to leadership, is the word love. And the word love in our English language, unfortunately, if I tell you I love you at work, your first phone call is to HR saying, Tim needs to be reprimanded. He's doing inappropriate things at work. He's telling people he loves them, because that's a horrific thing, right? Because in our English language, we have one understanding of what love means. In the Greek language, for example, they have multiple words for love. They have storge love, which is like love of your, you know, a nice piece of clothing you have, or love of pizza. You have philia love. It's like love between cousins or brothers and sisters and great friends, right? They have eros love, which is the reason why we get weirded out, erotic love, love between spouses or lovers, right?
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is there was a Harvard Business Review study that said people that feel loved and cared for at work do better work. Hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've stated that in a speech or on a podcast. Never when I've stated that to people has anyone put their hand up and said, no way, I don't want to be loved and cared for at work. I've never had anybody say that to me, right? But imagine if we created a culture of unconditional love, of what we call like that unconditional agape love.
Agape,
or that
yes.
Love between brother and sister, great friends. And one of my missions with another mentor named Steve Farber that wrote a book called Love is Just Damn Good Business is to bring that energy is to bring that mindset into the workplace. Because if we do that, we'll support each other to dream audaciously. We will have each other's backs. We will care about each other. We'll help to hold people accountable and support them to get there. And we'll be that person that brings that positive energy into the room. We all know that person that walks into a room and it just energizes the room. We also know the person that walks in the room, it sucks every living light being out of the room. And if we live that way, we'll be the former, not the latter.
Yeah. Tim, thanks for sharing, gosh, the bright light right now, and that just shedding hope in leadership, because there's so many bad examples of leadership, but just having you on today just inspires me and those that will be listening to step up and step out and give your best. So thanks for coming on today. I just really appreciate it. God bless you and all that you're doing and helping others.